because we live in the land that we live in, and because we have the foundation, the Christian foundation that we have as a nation, and because we have people who are willing to fight for our freedoms and our liberties, opportunity is something that this country knows a lot about. And not only that, our mother country, if you will, England, also knew. And so it's not surprising that nearly all the quotes that we choose when we share as speakers come either from Americans or from Englishmen before America had been founded. Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Sir Winston Churchill, October 29th, 1941, in an address at Harrow School. A wise man will make more opportunity than he finds. Francis Bacon. We are all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Chuck Swindoll. A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. Winston Churchill again. America had been founded, but Winston Churchill was, I would say, the greatest leader for England during war that they have ever seen, a world war that, of course, we participated in. I'd like to propose an idea to you that opportunities that God offers are relevant for us regardless of personal strife, regardless of situational strife, regardless of social strife, and regardless of persecution. In essence, regardless of whatever trials or tribulations might come your direction. I like this quote. It's actually from a movie, Dead Poets Society. Carpe diem, seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. God's word. Some sobering world realities. You probably don't need to be reminded in this time that we live that there are realities beyond our control that are not pleasing in our sight, nor are they pleasing in God's sight. These quotes help remind us, none can love freedom heartily but good men. The rest love not freedom, but license. In our culture today, I don't know that this quote by John Milton has ever struck more at home than it does today. With justice as an illustration, man is always looking to lower the standard of the law, with a capital L. The law must provide equal justice. What is just for one human being must be just for another. What makes one person guilty must make all guilty. Yet today, there is an effort to normalize everything. In other words, to make everything acceptable. For those who think this way, standards for human behavior are completely subjective. They do not take into account the Word of God. as an illustration. God and his church cannot accept this trend, or it will supplant his justice, which is perfect. And there will be a severe price to be paid for those who ignore what God is trying to do. We have been watching the travels of the Israelites as we read through the scripture. 12 spies, all representing a tribe of Israel, but 10 came back with a negative report. Numbers 14, 4 through 10 is where you will find this. Then the people, that's who the they is, plotted among themselves. This is after hearing from the 10 spies. And the people decided, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Are you kidding me? They had been slaves in Egypt. They had seen God deliver them with 10 amazing plagues. The sea parted. They had seen Moses go up on a mountain, take them as well up to the foot of the mountain, and they heard the voice of God. Literally, all of them heard the voice of God give them the Ten Commandments. Very soon after that, Moses went up the mountain to get more of the law, and the people decided he wasn't coming back down, and they immediately went to Aaron, asked him to build a god for them. Aaron lied to Moses when he came back down and said, they gave me all their jewelry and I threw it into the fire and out popped this idol, this god. Yeah, right, Aaron. He's talking to the man who had just been with the God of all gods, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, God immortal, holy, wise. But this was Moses and Aaron's reaction to this unbelievable choice that the people made. Let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron, verse 5, fell face down on the ground before the whole community of Israel. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land, and if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. God had had enough, needless to say. I want you to think about this. Does complaining equal disobedience, which equals sin? I would say yes, it does, especially in the eyes of God, especially when it is directed at God or his leaders. The word of God, Numbers 14, verses 10 through 12. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? Will they never believe me? Even after all the miraculous signs I have done among them, I will disown them and destroy them with a plague. Then I will make you, Moses, into a nation greater and mightier than they are. Moses intercedes, and he does again. The people are spared, but there is a punishment. Whenever we do something, there are always consequences to our actions. They could be good consequences, or they could be bad consequences. But there are consequences. God says to the people, but as surely as I live, and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will ever enter that land. And he's speaking of the land of promise now. They have all seen my glorious presence and the miraculous signs I performed both in Egypt and in the wilderness. But again and again they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. This obviously is a brazen violation of God's grace. We don't think of grace so much in the Old Testament, but believe me, it was there. Otherwise, he would not have spared Israel all of the times that he did. But those who brazenly violate the Lord's will, whether native-born Israelites or foreigners, since they have treated the Lord's word with contempt and deliberately disobeyed his command, they must be completely cut off and suffer the punishment for their guilt. Numbers 15, verses 30 and 31. We've talked a little bit on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights and Sunday morning about the fact that the law, yes, today has been done away with in the sense that the sacrificial system no longer applies because it was fulfilled, praise God, by Jesus Christ and the sacrifice at the cross. We have also pointed out through Jesus' own words and through the vision that Peter had confirming those words that the dietary restrictions had been changed and lifted. Is the law good? Yes, the law is good. Does the law please the Lord? Yes, it does please the Lord. Can we get by with not obeying the law? Only in the sense that God's grace sees the blood of Christ covering us, those of us who have accepted Jesus as our salvation and as our Lord. Otherwise, we would have to be judged by the law, and we are all guilty. For none can keep the law perfectly. Only one did, that was Jesus Christ. That's why he was a perfect sacrifice. He was the perfect Lamb of God, able then to shed his own blood so that his blood would cover our sins. He was perfect. Needless to say, obvious to say, God takes his word, his gifts, and our response seriously. God values humility and faithfulness very, very highly. Korah's rebellion. Korah, I want to point out, is a Levite. So he is already separated as special in the ministry that goes on before God. Dathan and Abiram are Reubenites. They have not forgotten that Reuben was the firstborn of Jacob, whose name was later changed to Israel. So they, knowing the rights of the firstborn, are not happy that the Reubenites are not seen as having the rights of Israel's firstborn child, Reuben. Now, Numbers 16, 2 through 3 state this. They, being these three men I've just mentioned, incited a rebellion against Moses along with 250 other leaders of the community, all prominent members of the assembly. They united against Moses and Aaron and said, "You have gone too far. The whole community of Israel has been set apart by the Lord, and he is with all of us. What right do you have to act as though you are greater than the rest of the Lord's people? Why have they forgotten? Moses was the one chosen to lead them out of Egypt. Moses was the one who separated the waters. God obviously did it, but he did it through Moses. And I could go on and on, but they have forgotten this. So what was it really all about? Korah wanted the power of the priesthood. Being a Levite was not enough for Korah. He wanted to be part of the high priest. It's just an obvious illustration that what you have is never enough. Being a Levite wasn't enough. He wanted to be a high priest. What about Dathan and Abiram? Well, they wanted more power as descendants of the firstborn of Israel, Reuben. And they had been denied that. They don't remember these lessons. I think that's becoming obvious. Now, there are great human motivations that cause us to desire power. T.S. Eliot observed, "Half the harm that is done in this world is due to people who want to feel important. They don't mean to do harm, but the harm does not interest them. Or they do not see it, or they justify it because they are absorbed in the endless struggle to think well of themselves." You can trace much of our problems and discontent in this nation today because we do not follow that concept in our justice system. Leviticus 25:18 states, "If you want to live securely in the land, follow my decrees and obey my regulations." Then in the book of John regarding Moses, we read, "For the law was given through Moses." You would think that Korah, Dathan, and Abiram would have been a little bit concerned about that fact. But we're amazing people, human beings. We can justify about anything, and we can forget a whole lot of things when it's convenient. Moses' response to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram goes like this. It's found in Numbers chapter 16, verses 5 through 7. "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show us who belongs to him and who is holy. The Lord will allow only those whom he selects to enter his own presence. Korah, you and all your followers must prepare your incense burners. Light fires in them tomorrow and burn incense before the Lord. Then we will see whom the Lord chooses as his holy one. You Levites are the ones who have gone too far." Numbers 16, verses 12 through 13. Even though Moses has pointed this out, talk about a lack of respect. So many of our troubles today are modeled after this complete lack of respect for authority. And in this case, there is no question the authority had been selected and given by God. And yet, man chooses to rebel. Not much has changed. Now, Moses makes it very clear regarding his right to lead and the fact that it is God-given. I think rebellion does love company because we are humans and we like to rebel. Because Korah had quite a crowd that was joining him. Numbers 16, verses 19 through 21. "Meanwhile, Korah had stirred up the entire community against Moses and Aaron. And they all gathered at the tabernacle entrance. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to the whole community. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Get away from all these people so I may instantly destroy them.'" Well, you know Israel still exists to this day. So that means Moses and Aaron did something. Once again, they interceded for the people. A great leader serves the people. But Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground. "Oh God," they pleaded, "you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Must you be angry with all the people when only one man sins?" Numbers 16, verse 22. So intercession again brings about the mercy of God. The people are spared, and the scriptures give us this in Numbers 16, 25 through 27. "So Moses got up and rushed over to the tents of Dathan and Abiram." Remember, they didn't come out. Said, we're not going to obey you. We're not going to do what you have requested. Moses runs over to their tents, and he's followed by the elders of Israel. "Quick," he told the people, "get away from the tents of these wicked men and don't touch anything that belongs to them. If you do, you will be destroyed for their sins." So all the people stood back from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Are they finally getting it? I don't think so. I think they're just scared. Then Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the entrances of their tents together with their wives and children and little ones. Verse 28. And Moses said, "This is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things that I have done, for I have not done them on my own." Verse 28. What is about to happen, Moses could not do. No human being could do it. It is a directed rebuke by God against these three rebels, and the ground opens up and has them for lunch. All right? Clearly, God is God, and Moses was his chosen leader. What did happen? Moses declared the ground would consume them, and three families were consumed. The 250 followers who burned illegal fire in the incense burners, they were burned up. The next morning, can you believe this? I find this absolutely astounding. The next morning, the people still complained regarding Moses and Aaron. They were upset that they had lost these three families. Okay, I get that. But not when they're in rebellion against God. Now, we might think, okay, it was very severe because it was the three men, the heads of those families, but their wives and their children, everything they owned was gone. It was taken away as the earth busted open and then closed back up. God, through Israel, is showing humankind his holiness. And dare we not pay attention? He has chosen Israel to be the representative to humankind of his holiness. Because of the rebellion, if you will, of complaining that is now taking place, a plague breaks out. And it ends the lives of 14,700 complainers. It's only that small of a number because, once again, Moses and Aaron move very, very quickly. And they stop the plague with holy incense. Aaron is running around with a true censer with proper incense in it, purifying the people, and the plague stops, but not until 14,700 have lost their lives. Another thing that happens, the priesthood was set apart to approach God and make intercession for the people. No longer can the people approach the tabernacle. God is putting another layer of separation between himself and the people, because quite honestly, the people, he wants to vomit them out of his mouth. He wants to let the world take them. He wants to create a new nation from Moses. But Moses interceded. Well, the good news, the great good news, is we don't live in that time. We live in a time where Jesus Christ has come. And I said the sacrificial system was done away with. So was the priesthood. Now we can approach God personally because Jesus is our high priest. Amen. Christ is our high priest and he is our Savior. So what happened to change all that? Jesus makes intercession for us. And he made intercession for us through his sacrifice and through his resurrection, and the fact that he sits at the right hand of God the Father now interceding on our behalf. and it's permanent. And because of this, we have the priesthood of the believer. We, believers in Jesus Christ, are now the priesthood. And I placed here so you can see it, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Also this morning, in the fifth chapter of Revelations, it talks about the priesthood of the believer because of the blood of Christ. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people. Now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Before the United States, most nations were based on ethnicity. Most wars seem to have been fought in a lot of nations based on ethnicity. Here in the United States, we are all immigrants from various and diverse backgrounds of people. And because of Christ's blood, all over the world, those that choose to believe in Jesus Christ and accept his great salvation, we become one people in Jesus Christ. We can have different skin colors. It doesn't matter, because we are one in Christ Jesus. Amen? Praise God for that. So, we once did not have identity as a people, but now we are God's people. So we have that shared identity, and we have received that through God's mercy and grace. Why today? Why did I share those quotes about what good men, actually men known by Christ, can accomplish? Another great quote by Edmund Burke. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. And praise God, this nation for many, many, many years was founded upon biblical, godly principles. And many of you sitting in here who fought for those freedoms and liberties based on godly, biblical principles have sustained those freedoms for us. But we can't stop fighting the fight. But the ultimate integrity comes from only one place. That is our allegiance to God. God has gifted us his great salvation. We must appropriate it, receive it, and apply it, and be obedient to his word. If you want to please God, you will obey God, and you will do as he has requested in both the Old and New Testament. May we be students and disciples and proclaimers of the whole Word of God. Amen.